Church. This is Trinity Sunday, and I want to talk about today the Great Commission. Now, the scripture that I read earlier that you can listen to here on the webpage is out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and is commonly known as the Great Commission. But I've been thinking about some other things, and I've been thinking about my brain. Now, I got a brain that needs a lot of training. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need my brain to see insects. Yeah, insects. Because sometimes I can see an insect from across the room, up on the ceiling, or when it's just a pint size. But sometimes that same faculty that allows new moms to hear noise from a deep sleep from across the house, all of her children, she kind of is able to tune in on, especially new babies. Well, I think, I don't know for sure, but I think that same faculty allows the dogs to start barking at an empty space. And you go out and you look and you hear him barking, but you don't see anything what he's barking at. But the dog had already seen that rabbit or squirrel, in our case, as Toby chases it across the lawn. And if it's going to make its way here, I don't know, or not. But that's irrelevant to the dog, because the dog sees it move. And I don't see a little insect move or whatever. But these daggum gnats this time of year, they see me. They get in my hair and they go with me. Whether I go into a store or back home, them gnats, they travel with me. They see me, but I don't see them. Well, I think the same way that a dog's brain is trained to see squirrels or rabbits way far away, or even a new mom can hear her baby cry from several rooms away in the midst of a deep sleep, I think my brain should be able to spot an insect anywhere in a room, even when nobody else can see it. Now, if they enter in my home, I can tell you this, they're going to be captured. But that same goes for the opposite effect. We can also not see things that others do. Why is that? Well, our brains are not trained to see them. Think about that. Those around me never saw these insects that come into my house, but trust me, I did. And it took great lengths for me to insist and then run over and carefully point them out. Even then, especially if they were small, it could take a bit, but somebody would actually believe me. No, that's just a spot on the wall. No, it's not. It didn't move. I didn't see anything. But it's definitely there, I tell them. Anyone who has insect phobia the way that I do sometimes understands my dilemma. Our brains are trained to recognize certain things in our life depending on how important our brain thinks they are. This is why some of us are good at some things and not others in some cases. But some of these things are natural. And some are conditioned, or some needs to be educated in us. So think about that. Now, Judy had to go and get an x-ray the other day, and I was looking at the x-ray on the computer screen, and I didn't know what I was looking at. But have you ever looked at an x-ray or even an ultrasound without an expert beside you telling you what you're seeing? I couldn't tell if it was a bone or a bone spur, if my life depended on it. But some people are great at spotting these aberrations, and we call them technicians, and the medical community needs them. Now, my dad was a mushroom farmer in Pennsylvania, and I've been around mushrooms all my life, but I can't tell you whether a mushroom is from a fungus or if it's a good thing to eat. Now, I kind of knew that the white ones in the store or the white ones that we picked at the mushroom house, they were good, but I don't know about those other things. I got some beautiful mushrooms growing in my yard, but I wouldn't take a chance on eating them. Faith works similar to that. I think aspects of our faith are really natural, but the development of our faith requires us to invest in some education, some brain training that allows us to understand the scriptures. when the pastor's thoughts, a word is the way to life. I've been doing an overview now of the scriptures. We had done Genesis last week, and then we just did Matthew this week, which includes the Great Commission. But the scriptures, and I think we need to feel God's presence around us to recognize the signs of Jesus' resurrection, even when everybody else doubts it. And you remember doubting Thomas. Well, we see what our brains are trained to see. I digress. We don't believe because we see. We see because we believe. Did you ever notice that in the scriptures, Jesus' miracles are celebrated by some and doubted by others? Look at the blind man that he healed. You know, the Pharisee kept on questioning and insisting, no way Jesus could have done this. That's a miracle. Despite clearly witnessing the change in this man because he can see. Look at the raising of Lazarus. The authority knew that he was dead. Some literally saw Jesus raising from the dead, and yet they escalated the plot to kill him and assassinate poor old Lazarus as well. So seeing is not always believing, is it? And when your brain insists that something cannot be true, or you just aren't open to seeing it, we call this denial. There's a technical term for that called cognitive dissonance. And when our brain cannot accept what our eyes are telling us and therefore defaults to the original belief or maybe even an assumption, it can't be true. So my eyes are deceiving me? Is that what you say? I don't know. However, ask us, do you have eyes to see? Who asked us that? It was Jesus. What he was really asking us is, will your faith allow you to see the truth of God that's right in front of you? Well, the scripture today takes us backward in time a bit, and we call this Trinity Sunday. And we too are examining what it means for Jesus to be the Father, Jesus to be the Son, and Jesus to be the Holy Spirit. Now, we heard him explain it to his disciples, that he and the Father are one. We understood his manifestation as God with us, Emmanuel. And we heard him tell the disciples that he would be with them even to the end of time or the end of the age as the advocate, the Holy Spirit. We heard Jesus tell his disciples through scriptures that they would receive his power to heal and bless, and that we would experience that same power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Just doing that, believe. But now, in the lectionary we're looking at, we're zipping backward a bit to the day of Jesus' resurrection. The witness according to Matthew, and in which the woman had just returned from the empty tomb, claiming that Jesus had been resurrected and that the disciples should meet them here on that nearby mountain over there. And when they do, they see Jesus standing a bit higher up in the front of them and once again reminding them of an important aspect of their mission to cultivate disciples in all peoples, in all places. So here, the scriptures show us once again the confusion of the disciples, the hesitancy, the bewilderment, that their brains struggle to wrap around what's happening before them. And the scriptures say, hey, they saw, but they doubted. Now this happens before Jesus ever meets them for the rest of the post-resurrection appearance, before he has the conversation with them, before he ascends, and before the Holy Spirit empowers them. If there's anything about Trinity Sunday, it reminds us just how hard it was for Jesus' disciples to initially to accept who Jesus was, even after seeing everything that they did for 3 long years. Now, I think maybe it would take additional time, you know, to talk, faith, have the Holy Spirit fire, before they truly learn to see. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. When they did, their ministry took off. I think that's a lot alike for all of us that are in ministry. And whether you're a pastor or a lay person, you are commanded to share the gospel, so you are in ministry. And whether our lives or our workplaces or our church, our relationship, that we may struggle with our faith for time to time. I think we all do, but once it kicks in, you know, things change. And they change quickly because we have retrained our brains to see God where we never did before. Now, we know that God is with us everywhere that we go, but we don't see Him. Now, even when Jesus was here on the earth, you know, He's not here in a physical sense anymore. He walked this earth for 3 years, and then He went back to heaven. But He said He was going to send one greater than Him, the Holy Spirit, so He's here. Look around. Understand where you are in your relationship with Christ. Now, does it mean that God wasn't there? No, it didn't mean that Jesus wasn't doing miracles in our lives all along. Because if you really look back in your life and you can see things that's happened in your life that you know it had to be a miracle, God had to be there. No, we just never noticed the incredible truth. Now, this is really what evangelism truly means. What Jesus' message to us about cultivating disciples in others. And it means helping to train others to see God where they miss God's presence in the past, in their life. We are called to help people to hear Jesus' voice when they never noticed that it was there before. So this Trinity Sunday, look around you. Look for the signs of God's presence in your own life. And then more importantly, look for the signs of Christ in the lives of others. I think that your ability to point them out will get better and better and better because that's what Jesus is commissioning us to do. Go. Teach and baptize in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And baptizing them in my name. And ministering. You know what happened when Jesus gave the disciples that commission and they went? You know, just a handful. I always relate it to network marketing. I like network marketing. And, you know, you get people on board to help you do what you want to do, what you believe in, and different things. And you get all the helpers and all that. Jesus started out with 11 helpers. No, 12 helpers. And then He quickly went to 11 when one betrayed Him, if you remember. And then He added another, so they came back to 12. So He started with 12, and what do we have now? 4 or 5 billion Christians in the world? Only because we answered the call, and the disciples answered the call, the apostles answered the call, that they went out and they taught. And baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the ones that they baptized went and baptized and trained. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, this thing called evangelism. Spreading the good news of hope and joy. And more importantly, the promise of Jesus coming back again. What a wonderful thing to be alive and well when Christ returns. I don't know for sure. I'm not a date setter, but, you know, we could be that generation to see the return of the Lord. Things are lining up pretty good as you look at the promises in the Gospels about what has to be done before Christ returns. He's getting close. I don't know when, but a wonderful thing that if we are here when Christ returns, guess what? We won't experience physical death. You know, Enoch didn't. Elijah didn't. Jesus didn't. Well, yes, he did, but he was raised. He broke that bondage over sin and death. But we might not experience physical death. We'd be translated to heaven and return with Christ to set up His kingdom on earth. Well, I'm just rambling now, but it's such a wonderful, wonderful message, this great commission that we follow in Jesus' name. Amen.